Episode 272, November 28th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, whenever you listen. It's the Rob and Joe Show. When do you think most people listen? Do you think that it downloads on Wednesday, and like Wednesday morning they're driving to work? Are they listening at work? Are they waiting for later on the night, to the weekend? What do you think, Joe?
Well, you know, I listen back to the show. Almost every time, almost every show, I listen back, and I always listen on my car rides.
I mean, that's the best time to listen, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, captive audience. Plus, I love myself, so.
Yeah. So you listen every week?
For the most part, yeah.
God, I'm so bad about listening. I haven't listened in forever. Is that bad that I don't listen?
I don't know. If I think it's a bad show, I don't listen. Like the Ravens post game this last week, I will not listen to it.
No, you're right.
There was an audio issue at the very beginning, and it was so awkward. And then, look, you know, I love Tommy. But, you know, Tommy doesn't know anything about football. I guess, you know, I don't want to peel back the curtain too much, but like he doesn't even know, like if you held up a basketball and a football, he might not even know which one was the football.
Come on.
So,
he's not a big sports guy.
But like we'll do things and I'll just kind of throw it to him a little bit. And he'll literally just look at me like, you expect me to fucking say something? You think I know who Tannehill is? And give him, okay.
Why do you have him there then?
Well, you know why I haven't. Let's peel it back real far.
Yeah.
Nobody listens to the post game. So we play games and we have fan interviews. You know, so I need somebody to run the game if we do that. You know, I like doing it better at Mother's North, right? Because then you have people that are there to watch football. But this past week, after the Ravens, by the way, it was packed when the Ravens were in there. Game ends. Ghost town. There's like six people in there. And
we need to have some drink specials or something to keep people there. Did your super fan show up? The couple that met in the hot tub that keeps buying you dessert and stuff and bringing the food?
Even they didn't show up. That's wow. How bad it was.
Yeah. Well, they won, so it had to be festive for a little
bit.
Yeah,
I mean, of course, yeah, people are... But here's the thing. People come, and that's their event. But it is Sunday. So, you know, my game ends... I mean, my show ends at 7 o'clock. The game ends at 4. So, I mean, I don't know how, it's not a playoff game. It's a 6-5 team.
Right.
You know, so yeah, they're there and the event has happened. It's over. And then what's on then is a, you know, Carolina, Oakland, Jets, Patriots, 49ers, Miami. Oh, no, that was the end. But anyway, there's three games on that people are like, oh, you know, yeah. And they're gone.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for you, but, you know, maybe next week. Actually, no, I can't be there either. Happy birthday to our producer, Robbie. You celebrated a birthday. Was it a couple of days ago, right?
Friday.
Was this the big one, 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you depressed? Are you struggling?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Is this been the hardest milestone for you?
Yeah, 1 to 10. Where are you?
This is a 9.
Where were you at 40?
40 didn't bother me.
You're at a 9?
Yeah, I don't like it.
So hold on. The most depressed I ever saw you, but I remember the most depressed I ever saw you.
Yeah, that was a 10.
Yeah. This is only one notch below that.
Mm-hmm.
One notch. You're in that bad a shape right now.
Well, I've been successful at distracting myself, but yeah, I try not to stop and think about it because I get very upset.
Wow. Well,
okay. Are you upset because you feel like your life has gotten away from you? And
exactly. Yes, of course.
You feel like you've wasted your life?
Everybody feels that way. But yeah, I always feel, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Okay, what percentage of people think that? Probably 90%?
That they wasted their life? Or
no, they have regrets about what they could have done. Yeah, sure.
They feel 100%. Like they should
have. Who doesn't have regrets?
I know, I'm not saying regrets, but there are people. You think LeBron James is turning 30 and thinking, man, I should have done more?
Well, I mean, you know, there's things. What about Tiger Woods? You follow what I'm saying? Like, just because you are at the height of your game doesn't mean that, you know, there are things you wish. What's that?
It doesn't equate to happiness either.
Yeah, that's true, right? I mean, everybody, you just have your own problems wherever you are. But well, I am a little bothered by the idea that Robbie is at a 9. That's high.
That is high.
Yeah.
Did you, leading up to it, were you sensing that it was going to be rough?
Yeah.
So have you gotten into an argument with your girlfriend? Have you been testy?
No, not any more than usual.
You sound testy right now. Did you do anything to try to make it more exciting?
She and I went out to dinner, and we almost got kicked out of the restaurant.
Why? Well,
what? You're too old?
Because
he was demanding a senior discount.
This is one of our favorite restaurants. We go there all the time.
They didn't serve dinner at 3 p.m.?
We took the dog.
What? And you took the dog to a restaurant?
We do it all the time.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
The dog always goes with us, always.
No, fuck that. I don't want a dog in my restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, what about other people? Anyway,
nobody sees the dog. I've literally brought a dog, and everybody else at the table who was having dinner with us did not know we had the dog with us.
Well, right, why are you bringing enough. The dog?
So,
if it doesn't know.
I want to hear the story. There. Let's all hear it. Right. So you're mad that they find out the dog is there. Is that the
Because what happened was he's in a little bag. He's very quiet. He stays in his little bag. But we were in Shirlington, and a lot of people bring their dogs to Shirlington, and they were sitting right by the window. And so my girlfriend turned the dog facing the window. I said, you know what? You better turn him facing us, because if a dog passes by, he's going to bark. And she says, oh, don't worry. He won't do anything. And of course, a dog went by, and he barked so loud. And they came over and told us that we had to take him out.
Had you ordered?
You were
yet?
Mad.
We had not. Well, actually, we had ordered a little appetizer, but that was it. That's
what,
all. We
what
had.
Kind of restaurant was it? That Mexican restaurant?
That went to? Yeah, that one you went to with us. That exact restaurant.
Were you by yourself, or did you have Chamberlain there, or just the two?
No, Chamberlain didn't come. We just had one other friend there.
I do. I feel bad jumping on Robbie. Just, you know, I feel like you think we're not on your side. So I want to be careful, especially since you're at a 9. That worries me. Robbie also handed me his will at Thanksgiving. That's a hard thing to accept. I don't know what will etiquette is, right? I mean, it's not like you don't want your brother's will. You don't want it.
Do you say thank you? I don't know.
I don't know what I said. I don't know how to act. It's like opening a present you don't like and pretending you liked it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to really think about my brother's death, although clearly he's thinking about it. But I will say, Robbie, you said you got into an argument. Please tell me you didn't start trying to explain why it was okay to have a dog in a restaurant.
No, I did say, hey, you know, we've had him in here before. In fact, they let us in there with him before. They specifically said, oh, as long as he's in the bag, it's fine. They've let us, but that this time they were not being cool.
They were probably like, yeah, because nobody knew because he wasn't barking. Yeah. But now
no.
People
we were sitting in the outdoor area, but they weren't serving in the outdoor area this time. We were sitting in the outdoor area, and they said, no, he's got to stay outside of the gate. And I'm like, we don't feel comfortable with that. And we said, my girlfriend said, if he's in the bag, will that be okay? He'll be in there. He'll be quiet. And he said, that's fine.
Okay.
As long as he's inside the bag, which is what we had him in.
This time you were indoors.
We were right inside.
Joe, I feel like, well, I don't know what you did, but maybe we dropped the ball here because this is 50 and we didn't really make a big deal. We didn't try to go out. I said happy birthday. I posted it from our Rob and Joe Show Facebook.
Yeah, I said happy birthday to him too.
But I didn't say happy birthday from me, Rob Mayer.
Well, I sent him a personal text, but you know, did we not make a big enough deal out of it, Robbie?
No, that's okay. You didn't need to make a big deal out of it.
Okay, well, no, we didn't make any deal out of it. So, I mean, maybe we should have done something. I mean, if you'd known, Joe, that he was going to be this depressed, you would have tried to have done something.
No, I don't like, you can probably tell, you know, I don't like that he's this depressed. I don't like a 9. You know, now, Robbie, he tends to exaggerate a little bit, his mood. But no, Robbie, I mean, when he says a 9, maybe exaggerated. Maybe I'm not being fair. He probably is a 9, which I don't like. I don't like Robbie at a 9 into being depressed.
Well, I think at this point on that there are no more hard ones. I don't think that the 59 to 60 no. is going to mean much. And obviously you get past that. The two hardest ones are 40 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
So you're done. You got through that. That's positive, right?
Yeah, it's
on your
it's
way.
I'm definitely this is the hump.
Marcus, how old are you?
46.
Okay, so you're not even thinking about it yet, or are you? Is it creeping up?
No, it's been bugging me for a long time.
Once you hit 45, then you know the next thing that you know because you go by fives usually is the 40. There's the 50.
I'd probably be less concerned about it if it weren't for the fact that I have kids.
Well, why does that? I mean, because you feel like I don't understand. What does the kids have? That means you've accomplished more than Robbie. You have kids, right?
Well, it's not about that. It's about the fact that being there for them and seeing their accomplishments, hitting their milestones as their life continues to progress. And now I've got a grandson.
Yeah, you've had health problems too, Marcus.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not looking at, I'm not looking at 50 as being my halfway point.
You'd just be lucky if you get to 50, Marcus. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Your lifestyle. Yeah.
You can't look at 50 as your halfway point. You're going to live to 100.
Yeah, I'm going to live to 100. That's my goal. Joe, I remember when you turned 40, it bothered you.
Yeah, 40 was tough. Yeah.
So what do you got, 2 years now, basically?
Mm-hmm. 2 years and 4 days, basically.
So it's you're staring at it.
Yeah.
Is it bothering you? I mean, does the fact that you have Katie make you feel younger or highlight your oldness more?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I live a young life. I do.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel old. Now, obviously, I know every once in a while when I like have to like bend down and grab something or get out of a car, get out of bed, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm struggling to get out of this car. So that's when I know, oh, man, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, my mom told me that, not physically, because like you're saying, you get older, you feel things, but she's felt the same, like, mentally and emotionally as when she turned 40. She's basically felt like that the rest of her life.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel young. You know, I think some of the things that helps is I live a young man's life. I still spend a lot of time with the people that I grew up with, you know. I still like to have a good time, you know, where even if at work, you know, wherever I am at home, it doesn't matter. I still like to enjoy myself. And I think that helps. Like, I don't, you know, maybe if I had more structure, you know what I mean? I'd feel a little bit older. I'm not saying structure is bad, but I definitely live a young life. And because of that, maybe I'm in denial, but 2 years seems so far off to me that I'm not really, you know what I mean? I'm just not.
Oh, it's coming fast, Joe.
Yeah, that's what
2 years.
Yeah, it'll be here in no time. Now, Robbie, is there one thing? Have you made out a list? I want to get this done in my elder years.
Well, it's Will. He's checked that off.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're saying I want to have accomplished more, what do you have a list of things that you're like, all right, let's get this done. Let's in the next amount of time.
No, anything that I would have accomplished, I would have done already. It's too late to learn to play guitar like a virtuoso. I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. But that's not really true. I mean, the only thing you can't do when you get older is you can't be a pro athlete.
I mean, everything else you can still be, I think.
No, you can't be a doctor. You can't go to medical school right now at 50 and get your doctorate at 60 and start carving on people. And that's not, you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
You can't.
You could.
It's the shakes of a 60-year-old man, you think you're going to be like, all right.
No, it's not ideal, but you can't decide to be a pro tennis player right now.
Right. I never had a desire to be a doctor, but I would go to law school, but I'm not going to do it now.
Well, that you could actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be a good lawyer, Robbie.
Yeah, remember when you argued with Extended Stay America because they didn't have your room ready 5 hours early?
Yeah, we have an update. You got a message from Extended Stay America. Is that correct?
Literally the next day after we talked about it.
Is it? It's a voicemail.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
I would love.
Why don't we do it? Why don't we take a break and play it on the other side?
This guy could be dead any second now. You want to take a break, Joe?
Are you too depressed to play it, Robbie? Just kidding.
All right, Rob and Josh, I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 3rd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Look at Joe having that tease, the pull through of our 60-second commercial break.
If only I did that at the Ravens post game. If only.
So we talked about this last week. You had a negative experience with Extended Stay America because they did not allow you to get in, check into your room 3 hours early.
And that was part of it.
You reached out to them and then they called you back. And
I didn't reach out to them. I filled out a survey.
Okay. Yeah, so but you shat all over them. That's what happened.
Correct.
But you obviously gave your information on the survey, enabling them to call you and leave you this message.
Sent yesterday at 1:06 p.m. Hi, Mr. Robinson. My name is Claudia. I'm calling from Extended Stay America in Linthicum Heights. I was calling in regards to a survey that you filled out and wanted to talk about the issues you had during your stay. If you can call me back. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, first thing. Isn't that good that she called you back? That's positive, right?
No, because I don't care that much anymore.
But they care, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't.
They're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, well, they did the right thing for me last time, and I ended up just staying at Extended Stay in America a second time and being unhappy again.
What do you want them to do? Just ignore your survey?
No, but they should know that people are not having a good experience at their hotel.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand it, okay? So you filled out the survey so they would know that you were displeased with their service, and then when they say
that someone was displeased. Not necessarily me specifically, because I don't care about staying there again or having, you know what I mean? I'm never going to go back.
Well, you don't know that. We don't know what deal she might offer you.
Yeah, what if she offers you a free stay for the next calendar year at Extended Stay America, wherever it is in the United States? You would turn it down?
With your dog.
Who knows?
Well, can we call her back?
All right, we can try. I don't
Hold
know.
Hold on, before we call, because here's the thing. Robbie, I don't like knowing that he's at a 9, and I don't want to gang up on Robbie. I happen to agree with Extended Stay America, and I don't want to make this call. And you know what I mean? I don't want to make it because I'm afraid of what the repercussions will be.
What do you think is going to happen, Joe?
I can't be in an argument with Robbie right now. Not
why are we arguing with Robbie? We're calling Extended Stay America.
Because it's okay, Joe. You can disagree with me. I don't care.
She's going to start to explain, you know, that it's not reasonable for you to never want to stay someplace when your room isn't ready 3 hours early. And I'm going to go, well, that makes a lot of sense. Yes. And Robbie's going to lose it. You see what I'm saying?
No, Joe. This is the new Robbie. The new Robbie's given up. He doesn't care anymore. He doesn't have any fight left in him.
That's true. He never learned how to play the guitar, so he doesn't care. All right.
You're going to mope around at a 9, a -9.
All right. Let's call.
Thanks for calling Extended Stay America, Baltimore, BWI Airport, International Drive. Welcome to our hotel. Please choose from one of the following four simple options.
God.
For sales or group reservations, press 1. For all other reservations, 2. To reach a guest and you know their extension, 3. For the front desk, 4. Or press star to repeat this menu.
What do you think?
Front desk, I guess.
I tried front desk.
Okay.
You don't know her extension?
No.
Drive.
Hi, you're on the air with the Rob and Joe Show. Is Claudia available?
No, she isn't.
Can we get her voicemail?
Well, she isn't in for the day. She's gone for the day.
But okay, can we leave her a voicemail that she could listen to tomorrow?
No, we don't have a voicemail.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll just tell her Rob Robinson Jr. called.
Okay.
The 9 in depression. All right, thank you.
And then he still loves her. Still loves her.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Bye.
Bye.
That's probably the same girl that wouldn't give you the room, Robbie.
Yeah.
They don't have voicemail? I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Everything about them is kind of lame.
Everything, yeah. I mean, this Claudia woman can't be that important or she doesn't have her own voicemail.
Yeah. I mean, what does she have? Don't they have a post-it note to scratch something down on?
Listen, I already have the number, the direct line to the regional marketing person, if I want, or the he's like a.
Wait outside his house, in front.
Do you want to call that guy?
I would have to. It'd take too long to get the number.
All right. So, do you, when you look back at your life, Robbie, do you feel like you've allowed things like Extended Stay America to get to you and it's undue stress. It's not necessary.
Oh, no. I enjoy that.
Do you feel like you want to have more of that in the second half of your life?
No, I don't wish it upon myself, but when it comes up, I'm ready for the fight.
Are you going to do anything? Like, are you trying to listen to new bands to do things that you're dying to be younger?
No, I'm just
going to start talking to Joe's kids about what groups they listen to.
Can I defend Robbie a little bit? Those they took our call. They didn't even ask for a phone number. They didn't care to talk to us, to Rob Robinson Jr.
That's what I'm talking about. They're just it's really just a lack of caring across the company.
They don't care.
Well, I will say that girl that answered the phone, I don't think she cared. Do you?
No, she could give a shit.
She did laugh at Rob's joke, though.
Yeah, she did.
Well, that means I liked her. Well, Robbie, happy birthday. Don't be upset. You've survived 4 marriages, you know, several cats.
Dogs being
jobs.
Kicked out of restaurants.
Yeah. I mean, you're a fighter. I mean, you've won multiple bachelor fantasy leagues. You're a winner and you're a great producer and we love you. And we don't want you to be at a 9. We want you to be at a medium 5 depression.
And I expect you to be a great producer for the rest of your life for the next 6-7 years.
Oh, exactly. That's depressing.
Well, the show's probably going to end any month now, to be honest. But we did our name draw during last week. You set that up, Robbie, like a great producer does. And with the 6 of us, myself, Joe, Robbie, and our ladies, and I mean, it's more fun if we say who we got, right? And then and start debating who might get what, correct?
Yeah, no, let's do it.
All right. Well,
can I guess who people got? Because yes. I know who Katie and I got.
It's like Clue. We're going to, I've got a guess too. So, because I know who Tawanda got. So go ahead, Joe.
So, I think, so remember, you can't get your own, you can't. So, Rob, you had to have either gotten me, Robbie, or Cecilia. You had to get one of those three.
Or Katie.
Well, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, let me take it back. Katie, because I have Robbie. So you either had to get Katie, Cecilia, or who did I say the other person was?
Robbie.
Yeah, but I got Robbie. I had another
person. You.
Or me.
Yeah.
So I think you got me.
Okay. I'm supposed to say if that's right?
I don't know. I don't know. just
go through it all. Just do it all.
Let me make it easy on you. Nobody got me.
That's
true. Yeah, we know that.
It wasn't my idea to exclude you, Marcus. We didn't know you were going to be down here for the holidays.
It was my idea. I think that Joe, well, you said you got Robbie. You just said that, right?
I did.
Okay, I think Katie got Tawanda.
She did.
I think Robbie got me. And
Robbie?
I think Cecilia got a Kate.
Me?
Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
Yes. My girlfriend got Katie, and I got you, Rob.
Okay.
So Tawanda must have me.
No, I have you, Joe. Tawanda has Cecilia.
Gotcha.
And Robbie has me. Oh, that's good. Robbie gives the best gifts.
Robbie does give the best gifts. I'd rather have Robbie than anybody else. Man, maybe you. I don't know. One of those two.
Well, I got you, Joe, and I've already thought of some things.
All right. You know, are you going to go, are you softballing it? Are you going to go, you know, easy? You're going to go wolf? You're going to go.
Well, no, I'm not going to do the wolf. No. Now, Joe, who did you get?
I got Robbie.
Okay. Do you want to have a contest who can give the funnier gift? Or the better gift?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to give Robbie a funny gift. I want to give him a good gift.
Okay, because I'm going for funny with you.
Well, that's fine, but you know, when my brother told me he's at a 9, it's got to be a good gift, right?
Okay. I was hoping you would have got me, Joe, so we could have just had the battle for the funny.
Right. I can't show up with a, you know, a two-headed dildo for my brother. Yeah. You know, he's already at a 9. He's put him over the top.
Well, that is a good gift. What are you talking about? He's 50. He's going to try new things. Well, Tawanda has the toughest one. She has your girlfriend, Robbie. That's the hardest one, right?
Yes. Well, that's what we agreed upon last week, that my girlfriend was the hardest one to buy for.
Well, I'm excited that I've got Robbie. So I think I'm going to get something good out of this. Joe,
you
I'm
mean me?
What's that?
Oh, you mean that Robbie has you. You mean that Robbie's getting you.
Yeah. Right. That's all I care about. I also can just give you nothing, so you don't give a shit. So, I mean, I'll get you something. All right. Well, I already have some ideas for you, Joe. Do you have any ideas for your gift?
For Robbie?
Yeah.
I actually don't. But I know I'll treat it with some respect. You know what I mean? I'm going to get him something nice. Robbie does a lot for the show. He's not going to be around much longer. He's handing me his will. By the way, you know, you're in Robbie's will. Do you know that?
Yeah, we discussed
this. You mentioned that on the show. Yeah.
You already know what you got?
Something to do with equipment for the podcast, right?
No, you got his 401k. I'm just kidding.
Well, at your age, it's got to be worth a lot. So.
Yeah, okay. Really. I mean, interest compounded over all that time.
Did
45 ACP.
What's that?
It's the ammunition I use.
Okay.
Do you do that? Do you just, because I just sent my mom today a text of a watch on Amazon that I like for Cyber Monday. So that she'll just get me that, and I'll know that I'll like it. Do you prefer that, or do you like the people to guess?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. I'm not a good gift getter. I don't. I like giving gifts, but I get so busy that it's difficult for me to really give the attention that people deserve. Like, I have some things I know I want to get Katie.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you want to let people know you care about them. And honestly, I don't. I'm just so swamped. Like, this week, you know, the work, I have this show. You know, I had to turn down to 98 Rock this morning. You know how many times I've done that this year, Rob?
Never, because I do it when you turn it down, and I've done it like once this year.
I think once this year, once last year.
Yeah. Well, so thank
I
feel you.
Never say no. I always say yes. And I actually said no. I couldn't do it. So I got this show. Tomorrow we got the rehearsal for the murder mystery. Wednesday we're driving to Philadelphia to do the murder mystery. Thursday I have my children. Friday is my birthday. We have another murder mystery Saturday. I have the Raven Sunday. I mean, it's just insane. I can't, you know, there's no break.
You're busy. Did you buy anything on Cyber Monday today?
No, but Cyber Monday isn't over. So I do need to spend some time on my computer, maybe doing some ordering.
I've got all my shopping done except for Joe's son and your gift for this gift exchange, Rob.
Okay, that seems like you would be on top of it. Yeah, I've done pretty much nothing. Marcus, what is it a big deal in your house, the gifts?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Well, you have to.
My wife will say that my wife and I have an agreement not to because we put our money toward vacations or other things like that. But I have always bought a gift, always with the assumption that it's better to do it than pay the price for having not, because I have forgotten a card on a holiday and paid a price. So, yeah, I learned my lesson.
When you guys get cards for your ladies, do you go funny or romantic?
It depends on my mood, but mostly funny.
See, I'll do two. I'll get one funny, one romantic.
What do you write in romantic? You're the light of my life.
I just let me.
Have you ever said you complete me?
No, I let the words that's in the card say it for me, and I say love you, moi, Rob.
Do you think if you borrowed a line from like a song, but more a song you know she didn't know, would you like? Like the Who's Bargain, they say one and one makes two, one and one makes one. What about that? Just throw that in there.
I'll do that this year. But I'll,
you know what song that's from, guys? Anybody know?
No.
From Bargain.
Okay.
Anyway, just curious.
But I can't do a Prince song because I'll write four, the number four.
But you also know a Prince song.
Yeah. Well, there's got a thousand of them. Maybe not all of them. No, I always do. I do a funny and a romantic. Sometimes and sometimes a music card. You know, you pull a thing and some song plays. I don't know.
Really? You do that?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I have to. We all know the gift I have to give this year. So it's.
Can I say, I forgot to say this. Do you know what Katie got me for my birthday? You don't know.
Is that the concert thing?
Oh, you know about this?
Yeah, we talked.
So, Robbie, I'm going up to Lancaster. Do you know who I'm going to see in concert?
Lionel Richie.
I'm going to see America and Christopher Cross.
That's the Yacht Rock show, man.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Well, I'm a big Christopher Cross fan, and it's after that Howard Stern story, which really, you know, that I loved about the song Sailing.
What's the story?
Robbie's going to know it more accurately than I am, but basically that song is about, I guess he was going through some trouble in his own life when he was a teenager. And his neighbor used to take him sailing. And so he wrote this song about that experience and about that feeling. And by the way, the song, which is an easy listening song or whatever, but this guy has the voice of a goddamn angel, Christopher Cross, right? And this song's the number one song. It's also the number one, won the Grammy for Song of the Year. And he was on the Howard Stern show, and I think Howard was asking him about this, and Robbie's going to know it better than me. And he said, yeah, he told him what it was about. He goes, well, did you ever tell that guy? And he said, no, I never mentioned it to him. So they called him. Am I right about that, Robbie?
I had forgotten about this. Yeah, they called the guy.
They called the guy to tell him that, hey, you know, this song is about what you did for me. The number one song, the one song that won Best Song of the Year in the Grammys, the Grammy Award winning song is about you taking me sailing as a kid.
It's pretty cool.
And the guy goes, yeah, I thought that's what it was about.
Well, enjoy that. When is that, Joe?
I don't know. It's in January.
All right. Well, I guess you'll have to stay through the new year. Thanksgiving, we had, you know, our first year in this house. So we hosted, we had, Tawanda's family come over, her mom, dad, sister, niece, and her grandmother, 90-year-old grandmother, who's still sassy.
That's what I heard.
Talks about Morris Chestnut. Oh, he's a good-looking man.
You think she wants to bang him?
No, but she finds him attractive. She's a little.
You think
saucy.
If Morris Chestnut approached her and said, "Hey, you want to make out?" You think she'd make out with him?
I think she would.
You think she let Morris Chestnut feel her up?
I think she might a little. You know, this is getting weird now. I think we're getting disrespectful. okay. I think
you she's
a single woman. She's allowed to make out with Morris Chestnut. Why wouldn't she be able to? But I was the only white person, so. But no politics. We're talking. They don't talk politics. It's a very easy family to get along with and talk with.
What do they talk about? Sports.
You know, we just talk about the food and just what's going on. And just
so you know that it's the tradition, we've talked about it, where you have three kernels of corn and you say the things that you're grateful for as you go around the table. And my father went first. Now, my father is a very conservative man. And I have a sister, Lori, who's very, very to the left, very to the right, very to the left, at opposite ends of the table. And I swear, down at my end of the table, all I was doing, and I should have put it this, that I was thankful that neither, I was just afraid that my father was going to mention, you know, how America's going to be made great again, or that Robbie was going to mention guns. Because she, you know, I just didn't want tension. You know what I mean?
Wait a second. Her husband owns lots of guns. She's not anti-gun.
That means she likes it.
I don't know. I don't want there to be any, because by the way, that's happened before as the colonels went in. People have been grateful for the Constitution and things like that. That's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like the Constitution?
No, I like the Constitution. Believe me, I'm all on board with the Constitution. But what I like better than the Constitution is peace. That's what I like.
So what did Gramps end up saying? Just typical stuff, family.
Just sweet things, you know, just, you know, wife, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Did he mention the Tawanda or Katie's beauty?
Yes, they were both mentioned. Can I say this one thing about, okay, so did I ever tell the story, the Make America Great Again story about the leaves on the tree?
Yeah, you told it last week.
Yeah. For a guy that listens to the show back every week, you sure don't have a memory of what's talked about on the show.
Don't pick on me, all right? Yeah,
I won't. So what did Robbie, what did you say?
Yeah, well, that is one thing. Can I say, let me interrupt. Robbie, he said he's thankful for three things, not necessarily in this order. Okay. The first thing he said was Bobby, the dog that goes to the Mexican restaurant with him. Second was his girlfriend. And third was his girlfriend's family, his whole fucking family sitting around there. He was saying how grateful he is for the family that he's known for 3 weeks that isn't even there. He doesn't even say he's thankful for his own family.
So last year he was thankful for his family and our podcast, and this year doesn't care about either.
He doesn't. He cares about the dog, his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's family, his new family. He's guess he's leaving this family to.
Wow, Robbie. Was that just to make your girlfriend happy? Was there some politics
to acknowledge, you know, publicly to my girlfriend how much I do appreciate her family, especially this year. They've really been warm and generous to me, and I like to spread the love around.
Right. That's nice. Did your girlfriend take a lot of pictures at Thanksgiving?
She did take a lot of pictures. Yeah.
Drama like the shampoo, any of that?
Drama at all, I don't think. James came with his daughters, and his youngest daughter is, you know, she shot out of a cannon, so she was a lot of fun. But no, I thought it was a really, really, really good Thanksgiving. Now, you know, we both had comedy shows before the day before Thanksgiving. It's a big party night the day before Thanksgiving. Your show was at the Ram's Head in Annapolis with Jason Weems, Tommy Cimbazzo, and Josh Coderna. And mine was at the Baltimore Comedy Factory with Justin Schlegel and Donnie Sengstack, who we mentioned a couple episodes ago. And if you don't remember, Donnie Sengstack is the stuttering comedian who really doesn't stutter very much anymore. And we were debating whether or not we thought that the stutter was good for his career and whether or not he wanted to stop stuttering and blah, blah, blah.
And we will tell you what he said after the break. Rob and Joe should be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher, same deal, Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show, download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, that's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmerritt@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
I figure you did that to me in the first episode or the first segment, so I right back at you, Joe.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Now I don't want to tell. No, I'm just kidding.
So the stuttering comedian Donnie Singstack was on your show Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, and you discussed with him what we discussed about on our show.
Yeah, and of course he hadn't listened to the show, right?
Who listens?
Right. And he said clearly he would rather not stutter. I mean, it wasn't even close. But this is a guy who grew up with this affliction. I mean, that wasn't really what the discussion was. The discussion wasn't whether or not he wouldn't want to stutter. I'm pretty sure I knew he wouldn't want to stutter. Matter of fact, the next comic was Blind Mike, which we'll get to in a minute. I'm sure he'd rather be able to see regardless of how that would help his career. But
I'm sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, he had to go through middle school and high school and dating and all that with this stutter.
You know,
I'm sure he's not thinking about it, how it's going to help his career.
But did he recognize that it would help his career, the stuttering, that it does?
Well, what he said was, and I didn't know this, apparently there's a guy, Robbie's going to know this because Robbie watches all reality television, but apparently there was a guy on America's Got Talent, Robbie, who came in second, a stuttering comic.
I hated that guy.
Was he not funny?
I think that his stutter wasn't entirely real. I think he played it up, and I didn't think his jokes were that good.
So is he ruined stuttering comedians?
No. There's a big opening for stutterers to come
for Donnie to walk in.
There's a huge market for stuttering comedians. So is he concerned, Donnie, about this guy that he's going to get all the stuttering, the prime stuttering gigs?
No, he didn't seem too concerned. But Donnie's funny. So, you know, I mean, he'll make his own way. He'll be fine. Stutter or no stutter, he'll be fine. But the next guy, the first guy that went up stuttered, the second guy went up was blind.
Now, is he 100% blind or like, can he see at all?
Well, he can see a little bit, but I'm telling you right now, he can't see well because when I walked him out, you know, I had to sit him down in a chair.
Sure.
Then I had to walk him through the curtain, but, you know, just kind of put him through the curtain, and Donnie had to grab him. And then I saw him feeling around for the mic.
And he was announced as Blind Mike, correct?
Well, yeah, because he calls into the show and he calls in and they call him Blind Mike. Everybody who there, look, that show is really, I love doing that show because there's a lot of goodwill because, you know, they're all 98 Rock fans. They love it. So it's really hard to not crush at this show. And so even Blind Mike did well. He's not really a comic. I mean, he might be an open micer, but he did well. But the thing is, he really is blind. So he kept backing up. And I thought about it. Like, the reason he's backing up is because he can't risk going forward. Right? I mean, that stage is pretty high. I mean, it's probably, you know, 3 feet off the ground, right? So he kept, like, kind of, you know, going back a little bit and a little bit. He was all the way back to the curtain. Now, you know, the length of the stage, probably, you know, 8 feet. You know, he's all the way back to the end because he can't see where he is. So when he finally said, thank you, good night, he only had about, you know, another 6 inches to go. He was behind the curtain again.
Are there jokes about being blind?
Yeah, you know, there are jokes about, you know, they told me if I jerked off too much, this, you know, whatever, this would happen. Yeah. I don't remember all the jokes, but yeah, I mean, it was about, I don't think there was a non-blind joke.
I wrote a joke recently that has to do with a blind person. And you ever insert, well, you don't, Joe, but maybe you can understand. At one point in your comedy career, you try a new joke, right?
Yes.
You ever make the mistake that I did at Magoobies a few weeks ago? I just was crushing. And then I decide after a bit that crushed especially to throw in a new joke.
But that's when to do it.
But it was so obvious that the joke I just told was as tight and perfect, and this one wasn't, and it was a weird segue. Have you heard of this disease? It's called non-24.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I hear about it on the radio all the time. It's something with your circadian, is that the word, rhythms? It affects blind people that they can't sleep, which the premise of the joke is I always just, you know, I try to be positive, and that I always thought that would be one of the good things about being blind is you would never be woken up by the light coming in. You'd sleep really well, right? And you would just, and that makes sense to me. That okay, you're blind, but you probably sleep awesome. And you could have like a deaf wife and she could be listening, watching TV with the mute on and you could go to sleep and you wouldn't know, right? So, but the joke is that, I don't even know it's funny, but the joke is, yeah, that's like being deaf and you can still hear babies crying or your wife talking.
Okay, I see. It's like an anti-woman thing. I got you.
Exactly. So, well, the real joke was just like still hear babies cry. Then I told it one night, didn't get a laugh. Then I said, are your wife talking? I got a huge laugh.
I got you.
So, but I tried that after a joke that especially killed. And they're like, what are you working on new shit for? Just go back to the other stuff.
This was in Annapolis?
This was at Magoobie's a couple weeks ago with Tiffany Haddish. But
well, you know me, when I used to do new material, which I don't. All my new material is crowd work, as you well know. I'm not going to write a new joke, and I hate my own jokes. So there you go. But I remember whenever I would do a new room, I mean, an open mic, I didn't do an open mic unless I had new material because I'm not there just to not feel good about my act. You know what I mean? That's what an open mic will do to you. You take jokes that work 9 out of 10 times, more than that, and then you do it in front of 8 people, you know, 8 comics at a, you know, at the some open mic, and you lose confidence in them, right? So, but what I would always do is you get excited about your new jokes. You know, that's the joke I get excited about are jokes that I've never told before, and I'm excited to tell them. And so, of course, I would always make the mistake, and I would never learn my lesson, where I would go up and I would just do the new jokes, and they wouldn't work.
Right.
And then they're like, well, this guy isn't funny. Right. And then I'm doing my material that's been tested hundreds of times, and now they're not laughing at that because they hate me.
No, it's rough. The Annapolis show was really well. We're trying to do a regular local comedy thing at the Rams Head in Annapolis. They're happy with it. And, you know, we're still basically right after the election. So, you know, I'm not one to talk about the election, but I do have a little joke that I'm trying to tell that now the positive, no matter how you look at it, is we have 2 straight first ladies that we all would like to have sex with. And so I try to throw out a little bit of election stuff. And again, I'm hosting, I'm emceeing, so I'm the first one up. And it was definitely a divided room. You could tell politically. And they're like, okay, you guys don't want this. As a matter of fact, Josh Coderna went up after me. And I guess he didn't hear that part of my set. And he went up there. Yeah, it was so scary last week. We almost had a woman president. And which I think is a funny line. And it didn't do well. But I'm like 2 minutes into my set. And, you know, you're going up first. So, you know, you're not expecting to be crushing right off the bat. But it's not quite, nothing's really happening yet. And this black couple walks in, joins another table. They were guests. They were with them. And it was the guy's birthday. And they walk in real loud, like, yeah, hey, we're here, talking to their friends. And, of course, I acknowledge that. I'm like, hey, why don't you just be laid in black and loud? And then the crowd starts laughing. They were laughing. And the entire mood of the room changed. I tell you, these black people saved – not they didn't save the show because it was 2 minutes in. It was going to be good either way. But they made the show start off better than it would have. And it speaks
is funny
to
you say that because
point.
we had just discussed the murder mystery where we had about 100 people there, but we had 2 tables of 8 black women and they made the show. It was already going to be great, but they made it elite.
Yes.
By standing up and screaming. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. It just changed the vibe in the room. And then it was just everyone just crushed from that point on. And it was awesome. All right, I'm looking at our notes.
I have a story about Jeremy Woodworth. Can I tell that?
That was the next thing on the list, yes.
Yeah, now, if you listen to this show 3 weeks ago, I was out and Eric Woodworth, he's on our murder mystery, comic friend, he sat in for me. And he told some stories about his brother. Now, his brother, I like his brother.
Yeah.
He's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Andy Kaufman-like in that what he really wants to do is make himself laugh.
Yes.
And he will make himself laugh at your expense.
Yes. Making you uncomfortable.
Make you as uncomfortable as you possibly can. He does these characters that fall and they're Vietnam vets that are missing limbs and they're clowns that are creepy. And I think I told you that there's a T-shirt, and we talked about it, that he has. It has Pogo the Clown, which is his character, on the back. It says, I was raped by, or something like that. Just
it's
atrocious,
horrible,
right?
Yeah.
So he sends me a message. I'm going to read it. I think I have it here on Facebook. Give me a second here. Please put me on your short list to help on air if you can't get Eric or Sonny Fuller. Sonny Fuller's who filled in on the post game.
And he's talking about on air being on the post game show or our show?
The post game show.
Okay.
I can do Vietnam Tom or Kevin the Emo. Or try to act like a normal human being. I won't even mention my rape t-shirts unless you do. Now, how the fuck can I have him on?
Unless you do. Unless you give him the opening. Yeah. Boy, the Ravens really raped the Dolphins this weekend.
Oh, that speaking reminds of me of a t-shirt of mine that mentions me raping someone. Yeah, so I put you're on the list. Now, I don't want to commit to that, right? Because so I actually like Jeremy. I'm a little scared of Jeremy, too, though, right? I don't want to make him upset with me. I don't want him to think I wouldn't consider him as somebody who would be on the post game. And, of course, then he sent me his phone number. Now, the problem is that you've already told me you can't do the Ravens next week.
Yes.
So I'm going to start going down the list.
Okay, Joe, here you have three people that have to go on with you. You rank them in the order that you would put them on. Jeremy Woodworth, Dan Ninen, Chris Restivo.
Oh, Woodworth won, easily won. I like him the best out of the three. Followed by, I guess Restivo would be second. Because Restivo does follow football.
Okay, but he also, look, he might be so intimidated and scared of the situation that he'll freeze up and not speak, which is good. So
you acted like you gave me Boomer Esiason as an option. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Vikings are the best team ever.
Well, yeah, Nine is going to try.
The Vikings the whole time. They played the Dolphins.
Nine and will try to do what?
Yeah, like he might do some research. He might study.
He's not going to curse. He's a clean comedian.
Fuck yeah. You bitches in the NFL.
Yeah, you're right. God, but I don't like Nine. I don't mind Chris, and I like Jeremy. So there, you know, Jeremy's an easy one there. That's an easy one.
Okay, but the person who could sabotage it the most is Jeremy.
Yeah, you're right. He could. No, I think if I said, hey, dude, you got to get, you can't, don't go off the rails. You know what I mean?
I agree to you. You just said the thing he enjoys the most.
You're right.
Is making himself laugh. And I think if he you have him on and he says, Joe, this is a great opportunity, I promise. Inside he's laughing. I want to be just great.
Oh yeah, and then you ruin my career. Yeah.
And he says, I want to be Pogo the Clown at Joe Flacco's 8-year-old birthday. And then he starts plugging his website and talks about how, you know, he'll be juggling rape victims. I mean,
you know what it reminds me of? You ever see the movie Tootsie? You probably haven't, but I know Robbie has. I'm sure Marcus has. But at the end, when he goes on that rant, he ends up taking all his makeup off and being a guy.
Right.
That's a level of destruction that I think Jeremy might be capable of. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Who's the least dangerous on air? The least dangerous on air is probably Ninen, but I know I hate Ninen. I'm not going to put Ninen above somebody that I like. I like Jeremy.
Okay, but you're not risking your job with Ninen.
You're right. All right, let me think this through.
You know what? The only way, you know, you might be risking your job because Ninen might be better than you. They might hire Dan Ninen to be the post game Ravens.
No, but of course, I'm telling you right now, I still Jeremy won. Even with the risk, it's Jeremy one. With the even taking the risk, it's Jeremy one. Here's why. You know, I deal with the government all day long. And these are some of the worst people you'll ever talk to because no matter what they do, they make the same amount of money. So they don't want to do their jobs and they can't get fired. So they're just
like
the
people
worst.
People extended say America.
No, those people can get fired. So I deal with these people who infuriate me all day long. So when I call somebody, I always say, I'd rather have somebody who's nice to me than somebody who is a dick and will help me. Right. Does that make sense? I just want to be treated, you know what I mean? So that's how it is with Jeremy. Yes, he might ruin my career, but I like him.
Okay, throw Mike Chamberlain and Scott Apple into the mix.
Okay. Wow. All right. So let me rank them.
Scott has to throw it to all the music. He has to introduce every song.
Okay, hold on. You can't keep piling. So I, in that order, I have Woodworth 1, Chamberlain 2. I'm telling you, I like Scott a lot better than I like Restivo. I like Chris, but Scott I work with every day. But man, I just know what he's not capable at all. He doesn't know anything. One time I went to a baseball game with Scott Apple. It was a business thing. And the pitcher threw a curveball and, you know, he spiked it, right? And he looks at it and he goes, oh my God, that pitcher didn't even throw the ball all the way to that guy's glove. You understand? He doesn't know shit about sports.
I think you're giving Restivo too much credit. I don't think he's going to be able to make some any kind of good points on the air.
You don't?
I think he'll get nervous.
Wait a minute. Is too much credit that he's better than Scott Apple? Is that too much credit?
Scott Apple will speak clearly into the mic. Won't be drunk.
And he'll be saying, I don't know.
And he won't curse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to sound like a total dork. He can't help it. But, I mean, is Restivo going to sound that cool? I don't know.
No. I still have 9 in last, though. That's never going to change.
All right, so you'd rather do it by yourself than with all those people, correct?
Yeah, you know, I hate doing it by myself, but I would have to. Although, if I had nobody, I would consider Jeremy before. Man, I'd still do it by myself, probably. I hate doing it by myself.
I mean, I think that Jeremy is the bad choice because he is going to sabotage it, and it's going to be hilarious. Because that's what he lives for. You think he cares about you and the Ravens and 98 Rock? He doesn't care.
All right, you sold me. No Jeremy.
No, I want him on. It's going to be hilarious.
Jeremy, I'm so sorry. These guys have basically sabotaged your chance of being on this show.
I would like to hear, I think I would like to hear Restivo doing it the most.
Yes. How about this? Can we get them to each do an audition tape?
Yeah, I'm sure 9 is going to do it.
Not 9 in, but Restivo and Jeremy and Scott Apple.
And Mike Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain do it, Robbie? He won't do it, will he?
No, he would come and do the show, but I don't think he would do an audition tape.
Right.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to do it live. Sorry.
Now, can we, it's work for you, Robbie, I guess, but let's think, well, Restivo can do it himself.
Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah. So can Jeremy, I'm sure.
Yeah, we can definitely just send him a Facebook message, tell him, hey, make an audition tape.
All right, so we want them to give some points about this last Ravens game, the last one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They can talk about what's coming up. Yeah, just whatever.
Just let them freeform. That'd be the best.
Okay, freeform.
Leave them to their own devices.
Okay. Another thing.
Do we really need to have Scott Apple do this? We really need this.
Robbie, you decide.
No, we can just play Chris.
Yeah, we'll do Chris versus Jeremy. They can both send in their own clip.
Based on what Mike's done on the air here, you know what he would do on a post-game show.
Yeah, he'd start calling them by their different names. He would, Joseph Flacco.
Yeah, he might do that. Yeah. But he would play dumb. He goes, you know, Joe, I don't know anything about these teams. Tell me what's going on.
Well, we wouldn't play dumb. That would be the truth. He wouldn't know.
In North Dallas 40, there was a director that he'll reference some movie or something.
Yeah.
One last thing here. I don't know if this is funny or you can make something with this, Robbie. It's work for you. But J.L. Covan, friend of the show, posted something on Facebook. How his mother confused Negan and Ninan. Negan, of course, the character from The Walking Dead. The new bad guy. So is there any sort of Photoshop madness you can make with Negan and the bad with really it's Ninan's face?
Of course.
Okay.
And he's going around like we're all on our knees waiting to see who's going to get bludgeoned. I
mean, if you want to go that
Rob Covan.
Yeah, if you're able to put that much work into it. I mean, what else you got going on in your life? You're just riding it out. But yeah, so have fun with that.
All right, tune in next week when we play the Restivo and Jeremy Woodworth audition tapes.
I can't wait. That's must-hear radio. Thank you guys for listening. And hey, if you're in Philly, we're going to see Scott Bergson, suck it, Mac, the better Bergson, at the Helium Comedy Club this Wednesday night. And then Winchester, I know we got some friends and fans down there. We'll be at the Bright Box this Saturday, two shows, 7 and 9:30.
We got a lot of murder mysteries coming up. If you're anywhere in this area, you can have an opportunity to see it. I think we're at the DC Improv. We're in Timonium. We're in Philadelphia. We are in Winchester.
Colonial Beach, Virginia. Yeah, and we're at the Albany Funny Bone doing the last laugh at the end of December. So dielaughingproductions.com. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.